Thank you, choir. The Lord will bless you in the name of Jesus. As you have proclaimed today, in the presence of the Lord, that Christ is enough for you. I pray it will be enough for you in the name of Jesus. Nothing will draw you back from following him in the name of Jesus. It will not be said of you that once upon a time I was a choir member, I'm no longer a Christian. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. The Lord will keep all of you to the end in the name of Jesus. And as we seated, the Lord will keep every one of us to the end in the name of Jesus. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you because of this day. It is the day that you, Lord, you have made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. Thank you, Father, because your word is yea and amen. Thank you. The Bible says the word that you are speaking out, you are saying out, it will not. I that I will be speaking, your children that will be listening, I pray in the name of Jesus, you will anoint us specially today in the name of Jesus. At the end of today's service, Lord, let your name and your name alone be glorified in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Good morning or good afternoon, or almost afternoon, everyone. The theme for this month that we've been considering is divine completeness. Divine completeness. And Pastor Demola has spoken about the completeness of Godhead. He spoke about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, how they are complete. He talked about the creation of the universe, how the three of them. We are not serving three God, get that right? We are serving one God, but the God have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, still one God, one in essence, one in power, one in everything. So this God is a complete God. And he had spoken about that. So I'm not going back to his message. Today, I want to talk about the passage that we have, Colossians 2:10. That's the main passage, Colossians 2:10. And it says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. Complete who in who? Complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the title of today's message is the completed work of Jesus Christ. Why are we complete in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why Jesus? Why not God the Father? Why not God the Holy Spirit? Why Jesus? And I want to talk about the complete work of Jesus Christ. Now, by way of introduction, I just want to give the background to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians was written by Apostle Paul when he was on his third missionary journey. You know, he was a missionary anyway. So on his third missionary journey, and the time he was writing this book, he was in prison. So he was writing the book while he was in prison. And in that book, as Pastor Demola read, you will see that there are issues in that church. He has reasons why he was writing the book. Actually, the whole book of Colossians was about the completeness of the work of Jesus Christ. Now, what happened in that church? The church, according to scholars, was established by a man called Epaphras. And after he established the church, of Colossae and the church of Laodicea. After a while, he moved away from that church to another area. But when he had gone, he put the church in charge of another person. Over the time, some people came to the church, just like they can come to any church. And they started preaching different gospel. They started saying, Jesus is not enough. And these are the four things that they are teaching or they are preaching in that church as read from that chapter 2. Number one, they said, salvation could only be found through knowledge. Hence, only those who have superior intellect could have salvation. In other words, to get salvation, you must have knowledge. That is what they were preaching. Number two, they said, faith is useless and is silly if you don't have any material things to prove. That is, if you are not prospering, if you don't have financial wealth. I don't want to use prospering because you can be prospering spiritually and may not come in the financial aspect. But now they are talking about material possessions. So if you don't have like 10 houses, 20 houses, jeep, and all sorts, they said you are not a Christian. So for you to be saved, you must have material possessions. That is the second thing. And the third thing they were teaching in that church, those heretic people, they said, in order for you to have that salvation, you need to obey rules. So they brought legalism into the church. They said people have to be circumcised. Remember the Israelites, God told Abraham they need to be circumcised. But during Jesus Christ, Jesus did not say all the believer has to be circumcised. But these people went to that church. Even though the church was dominated by people that were not Jews, they still went there, they were preaching to them. You need to be circumcised if you want your salvation to be sure. If you really want to be saved, you need to be circumcised. And the fourth thing that they were talking about is that matter itself is evil. What is matter? Your physical appearance is evil. Therefore, punish it. So they are teaching subjection of your physical body. That is, for you to be able to be spiritual, very, very spiritual, you don't need to take care of your outward appearance. You don't need to wear good clothes. You don't need to do your hair. You don't need to wear good shoes. You need to be like, do you understand what I'm saying? So that people will think that you are very spiritual. And those were the teachings, erroneous teachings that they brought to that church. And that was the basis of this chapter that Paul was now telling them, no, you don't have to do anything on that basis. You don't need to add anything to what Jesus has done. He's paid it all. And that is the essence of the book of Colossians that we are treating. Now, that's the background to the study. What does it mean? In that chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says there that we are complete in Jesus. What does it mean to be complete? That is, I'm on the second aspect now, complete work of Jesus now. What does it mean to be complete in Christ? I have this. To be complete means to be filled up, to be filled full, or to be made perfect. So, half full of a glass of water is not a complete full glass of water. So, to be complete means to be filled up. It means to be made whole. It means to be perfect. It means to be filled full. That is what it means. Now, bringing that to salvation is saying that as Christians, Jesus has done everything that needed to be done to make us complete. He has perfected everything that will make you and I to be complete in him. How did he do that? That is the next thing I want to talk about. How did he do that? Now, this week, as we heard, is the Palm Sunday. Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? Triumphant entry of Jesus. What happens as from tomorrow, the final week of Jesus here on earth? Why did Jesus have to come in the first place? John 3:16 talked about the love of God for every man. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed him will not perish. Jesus came that you and I will not perish. Now, John 1:1 talked about how Jesus from the beginning was the word. And that word decided to come down to the level of human being. And the Bible says, we saw him in form of flesh. And even People that he came for, they did not accept him. Now, Jesus came. Throughout this week, in some churches, every day, they will be talking about what Jesus did for what he did for the last days of his week here on earth. From today now, he went to Jerusalem. People were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. The next thing that we follow will be when Jesus will be dragging people out of the temple and we say, this house is my father's house. You cannot make it a den of robber. And after that, he will be teaching the disciples from there until Friday. Now, by Friday, something will happen. It has happened before. So it's not a repeat. It's just a celebration of what had happened. Jesus was betrayed. He was betrayed by the people he loved very much. He was betrayed, first of all, by the Jewish people who are his own. He was betrayed by his disciples, people that follow him and say, Master, Master, Master. He was denied even by his close friends. People, when he say, I want to go and pray, like prayer partners. You know those three people, John, Peter, and James. But Peter denied him at the last moment, the trusted friend. He was betrayed. He was denied. Why? Because of you and I. Because if Peter had his way, by the time he took that sword and he cut the ear of that person and said, no, you cannot take my master. You will not be here where you are, and I'm not going to be here. Our salvation will not be complete. But Jesus said what? He said, no, I have come for this purpose. For what purpose? That you and I will be complete. Complete work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. In Matthew chapter 26 and 27, Matthew 26 and 27, we are not going to read that. But I just want to reiterate some of the things that are there. It's about the suffering of Jesus Christ before he went to the cross. Jesus suffered. You know, we say salvation is free, salvation is free. Actually, I look at it, it's not that free. It is free to us human beings, but it's not free to God. In fact, it's the most expensive adventure that somebody can do. It's the most expensive thing that somebody can do. The most expensive sacrifice. Only one child. And God said, for the sake of the whole world, I release him. On behalf of Jesus, or on the side of Jesus, is an agonistic sacrifice. I've talked about the rejection. Somebody to know is there, or he knows when he was born, and he knows that, oh, in the next 2 hours, they will crucify him. I mean, nothing kills more than that. And not just ordinary death. You know, in America, when they say they kill people, I was thinking, oh, how do they kill people? They will just give them injection and off they will go. They won't know pain. But that was not the case of Jesus. Jesus was beaten. 39 strokes. And these strokes, they are not just ordinary cane. You know, those of us that are from Nigeria, when your father canes you or your mommy canes you, you'll be crying. But this one, they are the canes that are laced with nails, blades. And by the time they put one at the back of Jesus, they draw it so that blood will be gushing out. And they gave him 39 of that. After that, they made him to carry his cross. Remember, Jesus did not sin, did not do anything. Why did he have to go through that? That you and I will be made complete. And somebody said, that was not enough. Who is he, by the way? They spied on him. Somebody, they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, yesterday. Today now, he became a different thing. Not only that one, they crucified him on the cross. The sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you and I will be made whole. That we will be full in him. That we will have the hope of heaven. that we will have the assurance that it is not only this world, but we have a place to go one day. He paid it all. He sacrificed everything for you and for myself. That is Jesus. And that is the completeness that Paul was talking about in the book of Colossians. By your righteousness, the Bible made it clear, we cannot attain heaven. Because all our righteousness, human being, is a filthy rag. What will you compare with that suffering of Jesus Christ? Not because of what he has done, but because we will be able to say, Abba Father to God. We will be able to have that relationship to God. He paid it all. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 5. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 5. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 5. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit which is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. In other words, human beings, we deserve nothing from God except the wrath of God. But his grace found us. Verse 4. But because of the great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Jesus, with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by the grace you have been saved. Hallelujah. It is by grace you are being saved. It is by grace I am being saved. Completed work of Jesus Christ. You know, in that church that I was talking about the other time, some people, they made them to be serving angels. Like today, people will tell you, read your star. What is your star? Jesus is your star. They will tell you, if you are born during this July, you are born March, you have different things and different things will be happening to you. That was what those people were doing. But God said, no. Because Jesus has completed it. You don't need to read any star. Who created you? Who made you? Who made me? It's God. God will declare a thing in your life, in my life, it will be established. So no star, whatever it says, will be able to influence your life. People started worshiping angels instead of worshiping the Creator. They started worshiping angels. The passage that we read now, the Bible made it clear that Jesus had completed that work on the cross of Calvary. Now, what is the result of the completed work of Jesus? Why did Jesus have to do that? What is the result of that? The work that Jesus did, what is the result? Number one, forgiveness of sin. Forgiveness of sin. Because Jesus had paid the cross, I mean the price. Because he died on the cross of Calvary. Because he suffered for you that I may not suffer, that you may not suffer. Because Jesus was nailed on the cross and on the third day he rose again. Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the grave. He's risen. And because of his resurrection, we have the forgiveness of sin. Through his blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. But the blood of Jesus had been shed, and then our sins are forgiven. So the first one is we have forgiveness of sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it says, God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. So I don't know the sins that you have committed up to this moment. I don't know the guilt that you are going through. I don't know the way you are trying to make up for your past experience. The only thing you need to do is just give Jesus a chance. Every past sin will be forgiven. It's not going to hold it against you anymore. The slate will be wiped clean. That is the kind of Jesus that has completed the work. He had made that sacrifice. He had paid the price. You don't need to carry that guilt anywhere anymore. Don't look at your past any longer. Look at the front. Look at what he will do. Today we sang during prayer that without you, I cannot do. Whatever I do, it will not work. And we have cried for his help. But it's right here, wanting to help you. Praise the Lord. The second thing is, we are talking about the result of the completed work of Jesus, salvation. Salvation. You are saved. From John 3:16 that I read the other time, it says, God loved you, he gave Jesus, that you will be saved. And in John 3:36, it goes further. He said, if you don't believe, those who do not believe him, they are already judged. So there's no two way about it. There's no morality. There's no I am righteous. There's nothing like I can make it on my own. No, we cannot. We need the help of God. And Jesus had come to offer that help. Are we ready to accept his help? His resurrection. In Acts 4:12, the Bible says, salvation is found in no one else except in Jesus. There's no salvation. No one, nobody can promise you salvation except in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so why don't you give him that chance? Because he's ready to do it. In Ephesians 2:5-8, Ephesians 2:5-8, the Bible says, we are saved by grace and grace alone. Saved by grace and grace alone. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Saved by grace. Romans 3:24 and Romans 9:16 buttress this. We are saved by grace. The third thing, believers are given the Holy Spirit as a result of the completed work of Jesus. So having accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you are not alone. Because the road is not the kind of road that you can say, I want to navigate on my own. And that is why we have the power of the Holy Spirit with us. Jesus, when he was going, in John 14, from verse 26, he told the disciples, he said, I am going, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I am going to send an helper to you who is going to be with you forever. So I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. That Holy Spirit will be your teacher. He's going to be your mentor. He's going to be your comforter. He's going to be everything that you want him to do. I am giving you somebody that will be like me, who is going to be with you all your journey. So you are not left helpless. I am not left helpless. We have the Holy Spirit of God. The fourth thing, as a result of the completed work of Jesus Christ, we are delivered from the bondage of law. Delivered from the bondage of law. In Romans chapter 8, from verses 1 to 4, the Bible says, and now there's no condemnation for those that are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, from verses 1. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. In the Old Testament, you know what happened. Exodus 20, God gave the Israelites 20 laws. And by the time they got to the time of Jesus Christ, that law had multiplied and multiplied and multiplied until is like 300 plus. And if you read the book of Leviticus, you read Numbers, you will discover that nobody can keep the law. The reason is, if you, like, let's take the example, the one that we have in Exodus 20. Don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't do that. If you don't steal, you do not commit adultery. But you look like that girl. Oh, this girl is beautiful. And in your mind, you are like, you know what I'm talking about. The Bible says you have committed adultery. You've not done it, though. So who will be free? Who will be free from this punishment? And that is why the Bible made it clear that by keeping the law, nobody can be saved. Nobody can be saved. And that was why Jesus came to pay that price, using his own blood as a sacrifice, so that we will not be guilty of the law. So we are no longer under bondage. Don't allow anybody to put you under any bondage. Don't let anybody tell you, you have to follow this rule, follow that rule to make salvation. Now, I'm not talking about as a child of God. Yes, you need to abide by the law of God. But that is not for your salvation. You are saved by grace, not by keeping the law. Praise the Lord. Number five, deliverance. You are delivered from everything that stands against you. I am delivered. Sorry, I keep turning it off. I am delivered by everything that stands against me. In Colossians 2, verses 14 to 15. Colossians 2, 14 to 15. The Bible says, for he himself is our... No, that's not it. Colossians 2, verses 14 to 15. He said, having canceled the written code with his regulation that was against us, and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross, verse 15, please. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So we are delivered from everything, regardless of what, that wants to stand against your progress, that wants to stand against your peace, that want to stand against your life, that want to stand against your sound mind, that want to stand against your good health, you are already delivered. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this afternoon for everyone seated here, that deliverance that has been wrought will be yours in the name of Jesus. Because it is something to have something. It is another thing for you to be able to appropriate it. So because Jesus himself bore our sins, 1 Peter 2:24. Because Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, we will not die to sin, but we will live for righteousness. Or we will die to sin, sorry, and we will live for righteousness. Because by his wound you are healed. So you are even delivered from sickness. And so one day that headache comes, you will say, oh, headache, remember, I've been delivered. Jesus has delivered me. So you, headache, you better go back to where you come from. Or when that sickness comes and people are thinking, will you be able to make it? Will you not be able to make it? You can command and say, in the name of Jesus. Because Jesus has delivered me, I am delivered. My parents are delivered. My mom, my dad are delivered. And you can just send it to anyone that you want to send a prayer point to. And you say, in the name of Jesus, they will not die. And it will be so, because Jesus had paid the price. He paid it all. Complete work on the cross of Calvary. Not just for your spiritual salvation, for your physical salvation. You look at your life. What is it that makes you different? What is it that makes me different from every other person? It is Jesus. You know the stress that some of us we are passing through now? If unbelievers pass through those stress, they will be in the hospital, psychiatric hospital, and they will be giving them pills for the rest of their lives. But you don't think, oh God, I can do all things, like the children's song. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. Because what? Jesus had paid for that. He paid on the cross that you will not be under anybody, no bondage to depression, No bondage to anxiety. No bondage to poverty. Paul said, I know I can do everything. When I have food, I thank God. When I don't have food, I thank God. And I go my way. I still know that this God is still strengthening me. Look at every one of us, 50 days fasting. Nobody knows. Pastor was telling me, Pastor Isaac, I was telling me that, hey, I'm fasting and I'm getting big. I just look at him and I laugh. That is the refreshment from the Lord. Nobody said fasting will make you to look haggard and people will be saying, are you sick? Are you well? No, because the Lord will refresh you. And that is how God is doing it, because Jesus has paid it. He had paid for your sound mind. He has paid for your good health. So no sickness will make your body an abode in the name of Jesus. You are delivered. Philippians 2:9 says, therefore God also has highly exalted him, that is Jesus. He has given him the name which is above every other name. Verse 10 says, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Deliverance from bondage. Wiping out every handwriting of enemy concerning you. So anything that is not of God, Jesus had already made shown of them. Because Jesus' name is the name that is above every other name. And so any name, whatever they may be called, that may want to raise themselves in your life. They want to terrorize you. I say in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above other name, they will bow in the name of Jesus Christ. As from this moment, whatever it is that is making you to wake up in the night and the sleep will leave you because you are thinking, I take authority in the name of Jesus this afternoon. And I say, peace will be restored in your life in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another result of the complete work of Jesus Christ is deliverance from the power of fear. Romans 8, 14 to 15. Romans 8, 14 to 15. The point is deliverance. You are delivered from the power of fear. Romans 8, 14 to 15 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom you can cry, Abba, Father. So what is it that is making you to be afraid? Is it that mode? Just call the name of Jesus. It's settled. Is it that teacher that you think, oh, I don't think this lecturer likes me? Just call the name of Jesus and go there. You will succeed. I mean, you will succeed. What is it? Is it your career? Is it your manager at work? That anytime you are going to work, your heart will be beating. Boom, boom, boom. Something is going to happen. You just call the name of Jesus. It's a name that is above every other name. He said he has given you the spirit of sonship. You can call Abba Father. And actually, Jesus was telling the disciples in John 17. He said, look, I didn't tell you that you should pray to me, to pray to Father. He said, because you have the same access to that Father. He said, because the Father loves you the way he loves me. Therefore, just pray in my name to the Father. Everything sorted. Access to God. That's another point. So the complete work of Jesus Christ gives every one of us seated here access to God on equal basis. God did not have grandchildren. As that Adeboye is a child of God, you are children of God. So the same authority that he has in the presence of God is the same authority, the same power that I and you that we carry. If we can just make ourselves accessible, if we can just go to that, if you can just see that God as our own Father, and we relate to him as Father, he's there. The Bible says, your name, my name, is written in the palm of his hand. And every moment he's looking at you, and he's saying, my son, my daughter, when will you speak to me today? I pray that God will help us, that daily in our life, we are going to seek that God, that we are going to know him, that we will know the power of his resurrection in the name of Jesus Christ. In Romans 8, 16 to 17, and that is where I will be closing. Romans 8, 16 to 17. The Bible made it clear that the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, we are here, co-heir with Jesus Christ. We share the same possession with Jesus Christ in the presence of God the Father. The work is complete. What are you doing about it? What is your disposition? How long have you been coming to church and you've been hearing about this message? There's no time. Look at what is happening in the world today. The places you least expect that persecution will be coming, they are coming there. We don't know when it will come to UK. Not if, when it will come to UK. What if it comes now? And it starts with this church. And heaven calls. Where will you be? Have you taken appropriate measure to know that Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? This morning we have said, God, help me. God is here, ready to help you. Shall we just all close our eyes, please? God is here to help you. And he's saying, my son, my daughter, I'm right there beside you. I want to help you. I want to lead you. I have completed that work for you. Just open that door of your heart to me. And I will come. If there's anyone here that has not given their life to Jesus Christ, today is your day. Tomorrow may be too late. You may think that, oh, I'm still young. I still have opportunity. You never know when the opportunity will elude. You never know what will happen in the next minute. Young people are dying. Old people are dying. In the name of Jesus, death will not be your portion. But if Jesus say, your time is up, where are you going to be? Where will you stay? I just want you to say a word of prayer. If you have not had at any time given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to say, Jesus, I have heard about you. I know you have completed this work for me. I've struggled in my life, Lord, to live the way I want. But as from this moment, I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want you to help me, Lord. I cannot do it on my own. I need your help. Father, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. I want to become one of his children as well. I want to be able to say, like any other person, that God is my Father. Father, let this be the prayer of your people this afternoon. In Jesus' name. And if you think that you want to identify that indeed you really want to accept Jesus Christ, you can raise your hand. And if you think you are so scared, because some people are scared to raise their hand or to come forward, you can see any of the ministers, the pastors at the end of the service, or you can see myself. Because Jesus is there and is going to help you. Now, another set of people. You have accepted Jesus. You are living holy life, so to say. But you discover that there are issues in your life, as we prayed the other time. And you are doubting in your mind, as Jesus really completed it. I want to give you one assurance. The assurance is Jesus had paid it all. Just talk to him. Just let him know what you want him to do. You know, sometimes we pray, but our prayers are vague. We just say, God, help me. God, help me. Help you with what? You didn't tell him. I want you to make it specific. That area of your life, even within the area of your life you want his help, mention the particular help that you want. The Bible says his ear is not too big that he will not hear you. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. 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 Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus Christ is near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary.
Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Burdens,
I don't know the burden that you are carrying. You have carried that burden so far. And Jesus is telling you this afternoon, that just leave that burden with me. Leave that fear to me. I'm going to settle it because I've already completed it on the cross of Calvary. God is telling you this afternoon, that body, just upload it. Tell God this afternoon that, God, this is the body that I'm having. As children, you know your parents. What are the burdens in the life of your parents? What is that burden in your life that is making you to think, oh, is anything going to happen to mommy? Is anything going to happen to daddy? What about your sibling, wherever they are? What are those burdens that you have? Wife, what are the burdens for your husband this afternoon? Husbands, what are the burdens that you have for your wife? Parents, what are the burdens that you have for your children? I want you to lift everything this afternoon to the cross. Put them on the cross. Because burdens are lifted at Calvary. This week marks the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to offload all those burdens to him this afternoon. And say, Jesus, these are the burdens of my life.
Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted.
Your body may be financial breakthrough. You can tell God.
Jesus is
God of abundance. The Bible.